Hello and welcome back to Oh My Darlings, where we are reading Harp Song for a Radical, The Life and Times of Eugene Victor Debs by Marguerite Young. We're on page 27, chapter 7. With thoughts of his mysterious father always weighing on his mind, Wilhelm Wietling had been fascinated at an early age by the faces of angels in the cathedral and the face of Mary, Mother of the Christ, with whom he had identified himself as with the crucified Christ who was hung between two thieves and had promised them that the next day he would see them in paradise. The question of future revolutionary, anarchic, socialistic, communitarians, goodness, that's a mouthful, I'm sure a handful too, such as he was to become in his quest for harmony through worlds of sectarian discord, would always be why these thieves who were strung up with Christ were not thieves of mines and mills, why they were petty thieves of breadcrumbs for their starving children, or thieves of ribbons, spools of thread, needles, pins, strings of old lace, buttons. Those who stole a country's treasures from the poor were not punished by corrupt governments, for if they were fined, the penalties were less than the rewards. Hello, welcome, it's still the same. The land in which Wilhelm Wietling spent his boyhood was filled with ancient romances. There were invisible elves. There were dead horses whose legs might turn into legs of gold. There were talking birds. There were sacrifices of little red shoes made to the god of the snow, which would never stop falling unless the little red shoes were put out in the snow. It would be remembered that Wilhelm Wietling had been kind to dogs and could not have believed that even the mangiest old dog, who was a community nuisance, howling all night long, should be beaten with sticks and stones and chased out of town with all the community sins placed upon his battered, bleeding head so the sleepers might sleep in peace. He had been educated only in the lower grades and learned to read and write a beautiful Gothic script, and was never slow to speak, was not the kind of boy who had to be fed a dog's tongue in order to learn to bark, or a bird's tongue in order to learn to sing. It was a socialist's problem. Which came first, the bird or the word? Word was bird. Wilhelm Wietling, who was apprenticed at the green age of 12 to a tailor, in whose home he had lived for 6 years, his workplace a bench where, with his legs crossed like the legs of a frog, he had sat stitching acres of linen and wool and velvet and silk for clothing for men and women from before dawn to after dusk, his jaundiced skin mottled with shadows or shriveled as if he were a frog under a log, which no sunlight could reach. For he had suffered at times from probably hallucinatory illnesses, possibly caused by long hours and sedentary habits and a poor diet, and no apples, either green or red or gold, at his master's table, had become, at the age of 18, a wandering tailor. He had decided to be a helper of mankind. He was a tailor by trade who became a utopist and believer in the dictates of the heart, which, even if smashed and pulverized, should be reassembled and made to beat again through man's intuitive desire that the dead should live, and who knew or imagined that he knew how to cut the cloth of an unreal reality in such a way that even the poorest of God's children should be clothed in a material and a spiritual sense. There was no such thing in nature as a bastard left upon a rock, for all children were the same in the eyes of God. He was an agnostic who had remained under the spell of the icons of Catholicism, as well as biblical myths of creation and salvation, such as those of Noah and the Ark, which were symbols of numerous utopias, and Joseph and his many-colored coat, which was brought by the envious brothers to his father to prove that he was dead, although yet he had lived at the bottom of a well and would return. Christ, who multiplied one loaf into 1,000 loaves and one fish into 1,000 fishes by miracle, and also old pagan mysteries, which were of measureless influence upon the dreams of renascent socialists in the age of the great power looms, the despotic machine that was threatening to stamp out hand workers, all to become tramps upon the roads if they were fortunate to live. Of course, throughout the 19th century, with its elegiac literature of death-like sleep and dream, that of a preambulatory somnambulism of the walking dead and of the awakening, there was always the spectre-haunted thought that the many who had been transmuted and translated to the island of the blessed were the fortunate ones. Okay, so we've met a lot of characters in that Young believes was tied to Debs's background. And I'm going to need to go back to where I was and put... on the Substack, I'm going to go and look up some of this history that's mentioned in here and have links so that in case you're like me, you're a little fuzzy on it, you can go back and look it up. I do want to check out Wilhelm Wittling because I just don't know who he is. I'm going to pull out my trusty computer. Wilhelm Wittling, and it says Taylor. And I'm looking up on Wikipedia. Not that I think they're the greatest, but they're free. So that's why I use them. He was a German tailor, inventor, radical political activist, and one of the first theorists of communism. Okay, even before Marx. Huh. So I hear of Marx, but not him. Interesting. He gained fame in Europe as a social theorist before he immigrated to the United States. In addition to his extensive political writing, he was a successful inventor of attachments for commercial sewing machines. Excuse me, including devices for double stitching and the creation of buttonholes. Sheolistic Christianity. Okay, his doctor was called a highly emotional mix of Baobabist communism, Chiliastic Christianity, and millenarian populism. Huh. Oh, because he didn't, because of his religious and kind of, I guess, extremism as far as evangelism, he annoyed Marx and Engels. That could be why. Okay, there's not too much on him. Alrighty, good to know. All right, like I said, the chapters are short in this book. I kind of like it, though. It's just a nice change of pace from her other works. All right, thank you for listening. Bye.